Okay, let's come together here and allow Dennis and to share a good update on what's been transpiring in his life. So turn it over to you.
Good morning, everyone. It's a great joy to be with you this morning and just to spend the morning with you and get to see so many of you again. We're going to need to do this pretty quickly. Not a lot of time. You still leave it or end at 11:30. Is that kind of our target time? So we'll breeze through. You've heard a lot about a lot of things here, so we don't need to go into a lot of detail. I do want to leave a minute at the end for questions because I'm sure we won't cover things that maybe you'd like to hear about, but just want to set the stage and begin with one verse of Scripture, Psalm 115, verse 1, says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness." And we really, really want to emphasize that from the beginning, that that's what our ministry is about. That's why we're here. It's his faithfulness. And that's really the theme. We are very, very common followers of Christ, propped up by the prayers of his saints. That's you. We struggle with our selfishness, our critical spirits, our pride, our lack of faith. But God graciously forgives and faithfully provides everything we need, and he keeps us going. So that is who we are, and that's what this ministry, that's how God has kept us going, and we praise him for that. So just to fly quickly through some items here, some different slides of what you might have seen in the past. Are you able to see that pretty well? Okay. Three locations, you know, the Fairmont at the bottom is where we are. That was the home base for years, and then about 5 years ago, the ministry at Mowi, Camp Lafar, was started, as well as the camp up north at Autrell. And that's, of course, just the intro to the campus. Some history there that you've heard before, started in the mid-40s, and there's a picture of Wallace and a picture today of the founders who still live about half the year in Haiti. There are the four field directors over the years, Wallace on the far right for 50 years plus, and then Rob Baker on the far left succeeded him for about 11 years, and then his son-in-law Chris Sleeb next to him for about 3 or 4 years, and now our newest field director, Andy Lambert, started in April, and he and his wife have been a real blessing. We're thankful for them. An aerial view of the camp detail, but it's there's a lot there. We won't go into any detail, but it's a pretty neat picture. Here's, of course, the mother church, the first one that was built with the hospital to the side, Mountain Maid Ministry as you come into the gift shop, the restaurant that overlooks a beautiful terraced farming mountains, and the greenhouses below. And this is one of our schools, actually a kindergarten that's on campus there. There's where we live in this A-framed house, originally built for Granny, the mother of Eleanor Turnbull. So she was one of the very first to be there. As it goes on down toward the dining hall, on the left here is the playground that attracts lots of kids and adults every day of the year. It's an open campus every day. And then this is a little more of an aerial view, looking back on the campus and actually overlooking at the very top is the city of Port-au-Prince. Theological training and development is really a theme. And so our Summer Bible Institute that goes for 4 years during the months of July and August. It's a 4-year curriculum, so it's constantly, we have about 100 students So we just had about 25 graduate this past August. And thank you again for sponsoring one of the pastors that Bill has worked with a lot, and one that we worked with back in Maui at New Vision. Charles Evans is his name, but he goes by Maestro because he's a fabulous singer and a musician. He just completed his second year and did very well as he did his first year. So thank you for making that happen and allowing that. He was very, very thankful. And we do a lot of conferences and seminars throughout the year. Pastors of the Caribbean is coming the 1st of November, a ministry out of Grace Community Church that does pastoral conferences. The big theme, of course, is partnering with churches and helping developing these churches, about 350 throughout the country, except in the southern peninsula where BHM does not work, another organization called Mebish works there. ASIBAC is the association of these churches, and they're organized into districts and so forth. So the youth camps at Camp Lafire, some information there. There's a lot of activity going on there. It's been a great ministry. Camp ministry has really taken off in Haiti, and a lot of youth are impacted by the ministry that's there. And education and the child sponsorship program, as is true for a lot of countries, I think, where there's a church, usually there's a school. And so they're pretty much one-to-one. And the sponsorship program helps to support and enable children to go to school at an even higher level when they're sponsored. So, and then we do actually have four different schools that we sponsor, or we provide scholarships. There's, we think, the three best Bible schools in Haiti. We offer two scholarships each year, so there's eight four-year programs. And then the Liberty University here in Lynchburg, Virginia, that you're familiar with in the States, the Turnbull Scholarship supports two a year there as well. So anyway, higher education is definitely an important part of the ministry. And then ACSI, I don't know if you're familiar with the Associated Christian Schools International, but that's quite a neat ministry that trains Christian teachers in schools with a Christian worldview. We work with Eastern Canada, but the international headquarters actually is in Colorado Springs. And they're all over the world, and our ministry is sort of the home base for their ministry in Haiti. So we enjoy that relationship. Here's just an overlooking view of children lining up at our kindergarten there on campus. I'll come back to Sarah because she's been involved with child sponsorship, but I'll just fly through these here. Medical care, of course, has been there a long time. That's one of the four pillars of the ministry, that is the hospital and three remote clinics. And that's Dr. Bernard there that has been there almost 40 years and is a longstanding medical director. Economic development has been there a long time as well. We employ about 200 Haitians on campus. Mountain Maid is the primary self-sustaining, developing ministry. Again, I was there and can tell you more, but lots of things go on. They buy a lot of things from Haitian artists and resell them, and other things like they have a restaurant, a bakery, and then the greenhouses and reforestation and other things like that are that really the sky is the limit with what can be done there. It's community ministry is important. You know, of course, disaster relief. Last year was a big one with Hurricane Matthew. And you know, so thankfully this year Haiti was spared from major hurricane damage. They all went north or elsewhere, and we're very grateful for that. We prayed earnestly that we would have that act of God spare, that he would move, and we're so grateful that we did not have to respond to that this year. Campus activities, there's a museum, there's a playground we mentioned, a zoo. There's our three newest additions to our zoo, the three alpacas that came from North Vernon, Indiana, actually a church down there. It took about 2 years to get them. It's quite a story, and we could tell you more, but they're lovable. They actually just live in the field right below us in the back of our house, and so, they're a lot of fun. And that's not real easy to see, but there's actually blue lines drawn in that show the six major areas that we work with churches and schools. And as you can see, there's Northwest, there's North and Northeast, and then there's Central Plateau, Artibonite, and the West. And the number of churches is the Northwest has 88, and the North has 30, and so forth. Port-au-Prince, Fairmont, where we're located, is actually in the West, even though it doesn't seem geographically west, but that's the region that it's called. We still do some eye care when we can, so that's just to throw in to say there are times, but it has taken more of a back seat as Sarah and I have been busy with other activities that have just been more critical to continue. And I just want to take this minute to say thank you. Your prayers are, like we said at the beginning, that's what sustains us. God has used your prayers to truly, truly keep us going. We know it, and we sense it. We just marvel at it daily. You know, we depend on you, and thank you for that. And then your financial support, your encouragement, and your partnership in every way. Just makes it possible for us to be there and continue there. So, can't say that enough. Thank you. This was a special moment. Our longtime friend, Darlene Nguyen, who was a missionary there, finally retired at age 70, about 6 weeks ago or something like that. And just her and Sarah and Darlene just saying their farewell. She was left about 5 minutes later, and she was involved in the child sponsorship office for many years, and that's where Sarah has had to step in. And she also did VBS training in the summers, and that was a great ministry where she would go out into much of the country and train trainers. She didn't do the VBSs. Several churches would come together and send their VBS directors, and she would teach them how to do VBS. So in that multiplication ministry, you know, thousands of children would be reached, hundreds of trainers and, you know, churches would be impacted. So she did that for many years. And so now that's a ministry that is open for the Lord to continue with someone. This is a special young man that I get to work with every day, just to show a special relationship, Moise. And I caught this picture this day. It had been one of those days where we just ran all day, had no control really of what was going on. I grabbed a sandwich somewhere during the day to keep going, but I was walking out at 5. He usually leaves at 4:30, but he was over, and I happened just to see him. And I said, Moise, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm just grabbing my little pate, hardly even a sandwich. He had not stopped all day, you know, and it's just that kind of commitment and joy. I have never seen him without a smile first thing in the morning, every day, you know. There's no such thing as a bad day, bad attitude, or, you know, I woke up on the wrong side and whatever. Just the joy of being alive, and he loves the Lord, and he's one of the pillars at camp, but we sort of share him. Camp would love him all summer, but I can't afford to lose him all summer, so he's back and forth. And but anyway, just his servant's heart is just such a blessing and such an example that I just had to share that with you. Reuben is a graduate of STEP, one of those universities I told you about, probably the number one four-year theological training college / seminary in Haiti. He's from the Northwest, and he came to my office every day for several weeks. Do you have a job for me? You know, excuse me. So I just, you know, I had to apologize. I had to just tell him, you know, Reuben, we don't have a job for you. And, you know, he's got his home church, but they can barely pay their pastor, you know, up in Beta Hen there. And so anyway, I just wanted to share that picture. A, pray for Reuben, but the thing is there's lots of Reubens out there. These young men go to school, and it could be theology, it could be engineering school, it could be even, you know, education, whatever they pursue, hoping that maybe that degree will land them an opportunity somewhere. And many, many times it does not. There's a lot of Haitians that have taken education, have finished degrees, and a lot of them have two or three degrees, and they're just hoping, again, that something along the way would connect. But again, smile on his face, never really down, just hopeful. And every day, so he has gone back up home for now and is helping in his church, doing what he can. We helped. He had a house his parents lived in and the siblings live in, probably 10 live in his house. He's not married at this point. So we helped another missionary just get his house sort of livable. But again, there's just a great need. So, you know, pray for him and so many others that are looking to the Lord, trusting God. He was one of our professors in the Summer Bible Institute, and so that's what was good. We could give him a couple months of a little bit of employment and reimbursement. So Pastor Idris, he's our model pastor. I'm showing you these because I'm going to end with a theme here in a minute as far as what I feel like the couple of the real prayer needs are of the mission. But Pastor Idris is just a gem. He comes again with a sweet spirit. He works long, hard hours. Guy has a lot on his shoulders. He pastors our church down in Tomasen, but he's also the superintendent of evangelism for the mission. He does all of our relief. It's such a blessing when we receive, you know, we have people coming all the time, and we just say, you know, have you talked to Pastor Idris? Because we give him a monthly allowance to help people that just need things, whether it's food or medicine or whatever, and he listens and knows best how to help people like that. So, again, he's on our field council, department heads. He wears a lot of hats, and he's really our number one Asibach Pastors Association liaison. He's not their president, but he really represents the mission, and one of the few that we really feel like really understands the mission the best. And then we've got Jean Angus, and he's the man that has really been our Haitian director for 15 years. You know, most of you are old enough that you remember that, you know, speak, if Hutton speaks, people listen. You remember that commercial? When Jean Angus speaks, we listen. You know, he's just a sweet man, just has incredible leadership gifts and wisdom, and he's Haitian, he was born and raised in Haiti, spent many years in America, very successful, and then went back to retire in Haiti, and then that's when he got involved with the mission, really, and he works a full week, he works long days. We desperately need a successor for him, and so we're thankful for him, but we know he's probably 78, and so we know the days are numbered, and he does so much. He's involved with our legal affairs, with our property disputes, vehicle registrations, you name it, all the really advanced, high-level administrative work, that's what he does. So we've quickly covered the fact that we have a new field director, Andy and Kristen. They came in April, and we're thankful for them. They are learning. He's another 6 to 12 months away to getting his feet on the ground, but he's a fast learner and great heart for the Lord. So we really are thankful for Andy. We have lots of interns right now, and that's been a new direction a little bit, and maybe that's the way it's going to be. So they're a joy that puts a lot of young blood in the life on the campus. We had as many as 14 or 15 this summer at one point. Now we have like 5 or 6 for the year. Yeah, we've got several now for 1 year. So we hope that that will pan out well. Camp Lafar, we've talked about. Our director left in March, so we made it through this summer with actually Rob and Patty Baker came back for a couple months very graciously to help stabilize that ministry, but we don't have no idea. Chances are they won't be back next summer, so that's a huge need to come in there and live on the beach. You know, what live the high life, it could be better. Summer Bible Institute, we mentioned. We really, really are thankful for that, and it's been there a long time, and I think we want to maybe even try to reinforce some more with that. Master's program continues. We're finishing the 5th cohort in December. So, that's been a program going on for 10 years now. The hospital is a huge area of need and really discernment of what God wants. We've got a lot of people interested, a lot of activity going, but we do not have that administrator / leader / manager, you name it. We need somebody at the point, and the Lord really needs to show us. We've prayed for 3 years, and we thought we had Dr. Frankel. You might have remembered that name a year or so ago. We thought he was going to be, and we got really close, but turned out that he really wasn't the one. So anyway, we're seeking God's direction on that. Mountain Maid, schools, child sponsorship, we need someone there. Sarah has filled in temporary or as an interim at the moment. And then our need for church and all the ministries going on there. So I think, here's our prayer requests. It's clear we need more missionaries. We have 3 couples, and two of the ladies are moms that are busy with their children. So Sarah's the only one without, we're the only couple without children. So how do you want to say that? And then we've got a real need is for Haitian leadership. You saw Jean Angus, our 78-year-old administrator, we need to find a successor. And we will not find another Jean Angus, but we need to find someone who we think, can fill into that role and start the training, it'll take a year at the minimum to get to know some of the things he does. And then pastoral leadership is becoming a real huge thing. We really need to find that person who can stand up to the status quo, stand up to the brotherhood. It's a long discussion, but in Haiti, they're very, very relational, and fellowship is everything. And yet, we need a leader who can stand up for truth, and take the heat from everyone else. I mean, that's everywhere, I guess, in the world. That's not just Haiti, is it? But Pastor Idris that I mentioned earlier is we have the most confidence in, but his personality, he's a gentle guy. He's not a confronter. He's not one to stand up sometimes. So do we invest in him and try to say, Pastor Idris, even though it doesn't seem to be your quote personality, this is an aspect of your ministry that is going to be very important in the days to come here, and that we need to help, you know, let's talk about this and let's get into the scriptures and whatever. Do we try to develop that, or do we look for someone else, maybe a younger man who doesn't have as much experience and maybe as much respect, but has that kind of zeal for truth and is willing to take the heat and be persecuted, even to his family and all that will happen, you know. So these are hard decisions, and strategic planning, I think, is the other big thing. Leadership, Haitian leadership and strategic planning, because, you know, BHM has done a lot for a long time, and they've been a very broad ministry. But the day has come, I think, when it's very important that our home side board, as well as our field people, start to prioritize and even select those ministries that are sustainable going forward. Right now, we do not have the personnel to keep everything going at a good level. It really isn't. We're just holding on. And it really, you know, unfortunately, do we let a few things go? Do we pass them off? Do we find a partner ministry and say, hey, could you work with this? Could you emerge? Could we, whatever. We've got to explore. And I really think the next few years of planning need to face some hard decisions. And I'm sure, again, BHM is not unique with that. That goes on in a lot of areas. But it's something you don't like to do by any means, but I think it's going to become important. Ongoing pastoral training and just stamina for us. So with that being said, you know what? I think I've got a pretty good picture to share here, too. 2 weeks ago, Andrea was blessed here with Cade, their third. And here's the gang. I didn't throw John in here. There's another picture, but this is the best one. We love the oldest son, Cale, being so excited about little brother. And then, of course, Kaylee's in the middle. But that's one blessing. And we, just to steal the rest of the show here, we've got two more coming. Allison is expecting the end of January, a little girl, and to go with the little guy that was just two yesterday. And then Erica is expecting the 1st of March with a third son. So those are exciting times for us. And in fact, we are hoping to come home in the middle of February next year to see both of them. So I don't want to take any more time at the moment. I want to turn it over to Sarah to share a little bit about, is this on? Check. She can turn on back there. Okay.
Check.
Oh, yeah. Always wanted to do that.
Testing, test.
Oh, I'm just so happy to be here. I just love these faces. And love the hugs and just catching up with you guys and what's going on in your lives. And I know I don't always get everybody around, you know, get around to hug everybody, but boy, you're just always in our hearts, and we know, and we thank you for your prayers. We are, the prayers of the saints are sweet to the Lord, and he has blessed us through those, and we thank you so much. And I was just triple blessed this morning. The ladies at the mission just finished, I think we did about 7 weeks of Colossians. And so, you know, Josh starts off with, you know, the singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's like Colossians 3. And then pastors, the scripture this morning, Colossians 1, 15 to 20. And it was just like, oh, that's been a really, really special book and real special study to me. And so since we were just finishing that up this morning, it just really bless me, and the songs, In Christ Alone is just, I just, you know, tells my heart, that just tells what I believe, and then the song, I'm not sure how, I really wasn't familiar with All I Have in Christ, but I mean, I'm just looking at those words going, oh my Lord, this is me, and that's, you know, all I have is Christ, and the strength to follow your commands could never come from me, and that just spoke volumes to me, because what we do is nothing that we have decided to do, or that we some days we don't even want to do it, you know. But the strength to follow his commands is not, it's not our strength, it's his strength, and it's him who has moved us and physically moved us and moved our hearts and keeps us there and keeps us content and at peace with him and just joyful in him. And I was just so blessed this morning by all this. But so just me and what I've been doing is, I don't know, some of you who are familiar with our talks in the past, I work at, my primary job was at Mountain Made, which is our self-help, for better lack of words, ministry, where we bring in, we have artisans, Haitian artisans, that make all different kinds of things. They bring them in and we buy them. We resell them in a store, a retail store. Some to the locals, but not very many, usually tourists, Americans, teams that are down working in Port-au-Prince, which is like 120 degrees, and they come up to the 70 degrees and enjoy a hamburger and buy some crafts in a safe environment where they're not bothered by the street vendors that can get a little pushy sometimes. But so we've enjoyed that, and just watching how that has really increased. We have an online store even, and we're looking to make changes to that in the near future, so that's kind of coming up. And to me, that may, but I've been trying to get away from that because it was approached to me that maybe perhaps I might temporarily, I keep telling them it's temporary, move into the child sponsorship director position just for really lack of anybody else better to do it. So when we lost Darlene, we knew she was leaving. We just didn't have anybody coming in to take that spot. So I've been trying to learn that, and still working at Mountain Made too. And the transitions, you could pray for me over that. That's been really difficult for me because I may go back and forth between the offices several times a day, and I can't even, I have to sit down and it's like, okay, this computer, oh yeah, this has a drawer. There's my keyboard, you know, and just even little things that I'm like, I just can't get my brain, doesn't switch as fast as it used to, you know. So anyway, trying to learn all that goes on with our child sponsorship program. And right now, while I'm out, timing wasn't great for child sponsorship. This is one of their busiest times right now. They're out taking pictures of the 2,500 to 3,000 students that we currently have sponsored, as well as extras for the new sponsorships that will come. But that, I think 21 schools now are sponsored schools, even though we have 350. They're not all sponsored schools. It just doesn't make sense logistically to get sponsors in schools where if someone would come down and say, I want to see my sponsored child, we're like, well, okay, we're going to drive for 2 days, and then we're going to take a donkey, and then we're going to take, you know, we might have to take a moto and, you know, over these mountain ranges. And so we keep them in a kind of a location that can be driven to in a day or so. But so they're out doing that right now. I have a young man who's in charge of, kind of put in charge of that. But they're taking pictures right now. So I am kind of missing that fun part of that. But a lot of computer work. That my work is mostly computer answering just the logistics of sponsorship and things like that. We are looking to perhaps look into a new thing where we're not sponsoring individual children, but we're sponsoring whole schools, but that takes a huge partnership with a large organization. We do have a church, I think, in Canada that's sponsoring one, and we have No, it's not going to replace that. We're looking to reach more children. So, but anyway, that's kind of new for me, but I enjoy that right now too, and. That's about it for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're coming toward the end of our time. Any questions that anyone might have that we haven't covered?
Sometimes it's same old, you know, in a way. Sometimes it seems like things are changing for us, but then when we really step back and we're like, well, it's basically still the same, but... Well, it would depend on how many are in the in the school. We have schools of 30 and we have schools of 300. So,
basically, though, to give you some math numbers to work with, an individual sponsorship is $30 a month, which comes out to $360 for a year, okay? If you do the bulk rate here with a whole school, let's say 100, just make it easy, the rate becomes $250 a year. Times 100, though, that's $25,000 U.S. So that's a chunk. So you've got to have a, you know, deep pockets. You have a usually large churches, something like that. But it's definitely much easier to administer, and it does have some cost savings there, you know. So we're just exploring that. We've got a couple of those right now and kind of seeing where that might go for those who might be interested on that level. Right, actually this week, just to throw out an eye care thought, Dr. Purdy is an ophthalmologist from Fort Wayne who has come now for about 5 years, I believe. And the first 2 years he came, we were there, and we worked with him in Maui 1 year, and also at Baptist Haiti Mission 1 year. But the last few years he's come, we've been in the States, so... I still try to support that and try to arrange a logistics for that. And like he flew in yesterday, so we had Dago, our good friend, pick him up at the airport. And he's staying at Calico. He's going to do surgery at RKA, St. Art Hospital, where my friend Dr. Fulton is administrator. He's a dentist from Anderson, been there for many years. He and his wife moved about 3 years ago. So they're good friends of ours, but between Mark and Eric, they're gonna start and do surgeries this week. So we've got a vehicle going down from our mission on Tuesday actually to take about 6 cataract patients and hopefully get surgery that day. They'll stay at Camp Lafar. RKA is not far from Maui, so stay overnight at the camp, get something to eat, go back for their post-op visit, and come back. But anyway. It's great to know that that's going on, but it is kind of hard to arrange and do all that from a distance and not be able to be there to be part of it. But I actually was able to put some of my extra equipment down at St. Ard, so we're kind of developing the eye care ministry there at St. Ard in lieu of what we once did, which we still do. I still see patients every day, but they come to my office. It's a little different arrangement. My next clinic day is going to be 1st of January, Lord willing, but it's just become very difficult to do that much.
When you sponsor a child, what does that provide for them?
You want to say?
You know,
okay. Well, it provides a uniform, two uniforms, which is required. It buys their books. It pays their teacher. And it gives the school a little support. It hopefully provides food. Now, that $250 includes food. If it's sponsored, we will do food. Food is $80 of that $250. So if for some reason food was not available, it actually would be significantly less. But we really, really want that to happen. So, yeah, it provides a lunch. It provides a little bit of medical care. Am I missing something?
You said pay teachers, but they're training too.
Yeah, teacher training. Yeah, kind of a full package. We also work with Compassion. I don't know if you saw that on one of the slides. Compassion, of course, they got lots of money, you know, and they've got a lot. They're developing more and more schools all the time, and so we can partner. Some of our schools, I think we've got maybe 20 now of our schools that are Compassion-sponsored schools, and that works out really well because they are able to do much of the same as what our sponsorship does, so it just helps to sort of expand what we do, and they're good to work with. So.
And we use biblical curriculum.
Yeah.
If we...
if we could get food programs going in some of these schools that don't have them, we know that that will pull students from other schools that don't have food. Sometimes that's the only reason they go to this school instead of this school, which is closer, is because their child will get a lunch at that. And that's the only difference. It's the only reason. So if we could get food programs going in our schools and then have that biblical curriculum, that's a win-win for the kids. They'll get food and the good education. So, yeah, the gospel.
And it's kind of exciting. There's a group out of Bloomington, Illinois called Midwest Food Bank, a Christian group that has just exploded since about 2004. They came down about 3 weeks ago, five of them, and got to know them and their founder, and they've got like 300 agencies in America. They've got seven sites throughout the country. I mean, they're just exploding. It was really hurt the Katrina that down at New Orleans that really took their ministry to the next level, but they've just been growing. They got a ministry in Ethiopia where they've been there about 3 years, and that's going very well. They're just starting now. Their second country is Haiti, and they want to partner with BHM and Mission of Hope, maybe Double Harvest. They've got a few targets, and so there's great potential there to get that going. In a couple years, they want to build a manufacturing site in Port-au-Prince, so it won't. For the first year, they'll have to ship in the food. They do all that here. But very soon, as quickly as possible, they want to do it all in Haiti, which will be great. Use everything indigenously and national leaders and the whole nine yards. So that's exciting. We hope that next fall, our plan is that we will be partnering with them for some of the schools for food programs. We've got some food programs, but they really sort of fell off about 3 or 4 years ago, and we're trying to get as many of those reinitiated. So that's an exciting thing. Yes. A year ago. She's the political expert. I'll let her.
In general, it's okay, but the last month or 6 weeks or so, two months maybe, one of the losers in the election decided he wanted to stir up some trouble, and he started paying people to be part of his protests, and there was rumors of coups where they would just absolutely go in and just overthrow the existing government. They were stopped on several fronts. The UN has pulled out, and it was a planned pullout of most of the troops. And so the Haitian police, they were building up their own forces, thankfully, because they have really been needed with these protests. So it's every day there's something. It's like, no, don't go, don't leave the mission. And not that they're not as close as us, but they're as close as our grocery store, you know. So we have to be careful on what kind of days we travel and where we go. And if we would ever want to go to one of the other campuses, we would pass through areas that have been highly protested.
Our CAIA has been one of the real hot spots, unfortunately. Yeah. So that's been a deal, because that you have to go
we
through
can't
that
get to
camp
get
the MOE,
if we
get camp.
Yeah. So
hopefully this.
So it's been stirred, but I don't think that's real concern that it's going to be a government overthrow, but it has made the State Department reissue their warning about Haiti and that it's out of control, and it's not that bad, but it could be, maybe. But for now, I think they're going to get a handle on it. The police are handling it.
Well, thank you. We always enjoy getting to see you. And again, thank you for your prayers. Unfortunately, this is our only Sunday in Winnemac, so we won't have a chance to get back. But hopefully next trip home for sure. We'll look forward to that. So thank you.
It's always good to have Dennis and Sarah here. If you haven't had a chance to greet them, we'll give you an opportunity to do that here as we dismiss. Let me take a moment to pray for them. Father, thank you for Dennis and Sarah, their love for Christ, their love for your word, for people. Thank you for the investment of their life in the land of Haiti. Pray that it brings forth much fruit. We ask your blessing on them. Give them time of refreshment and encouragement here before they return. And when they do go back, give them wisdom each day to carry out your work and what you've called them to do. We're so thankful for them. We commit them to your grace. In Christ's name, amen. All right, you're dismissed.